That is more than enough out of you, Chris. What a great start. I used to be a pitcher, Chris. Not am a pitcher. Used to be a pitcher. All right. We've got an absolutely fantastic show planned for you today. We're going to take all of your phone calls, 877-710-ESPN. Want to get your read on what you saw last night down in Orlando inside that bubble. All of ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance, and all of our guests on the show will appear via the Shell Performance line. Shell Pennzoil Performance line, I should say. Alan, all right, let me start right here. Let me give you this. You tell me if you either need to get me on a ledge or not.
All right.
I think the Lakers are totally fine. Mm-hmm. I think that this was a classic game when you're up 2-0 against a team that's missing its two best players, against a team that really has to come out and throw their very best punch, and you know that you
don't
really
have
to.
It was
their season.
It was their season
last night, and Jimmy Butler did what you need to do when it's your season on the line. He put together one of the all-time great finals performances ever, really. That's not an overstatement. 40 points, 11 boards, 13 rebounds. And my takeaway from that last night was, you know what? The Lakers still almost won anyway, and they played poorly. I still feel incredibly bullish about where the Lakers are.
This is how I looked at last night's game. It's the way I started the post-game show as well. So, Trev, I get it. You're up 2-0. There's no pressure on the Los Angeles Lakers. Miami Heat season fell on a 48-minute span last night in Game 3. I look at it this way. It was a missed opportunity for the Lakers, you can say, to pretty much end the series. It was a missed opportunity. I don't take it lightly that Bam Adebayo is out. I don't take it lightly that Goran Dragic is out. And if I thought the Los Angeles Lakers, if I thought they played good basketball, we've watched them all year. This team's been amazing. This playoff run, they've literally lost one game in every series, and here we are in the NBA playoff in the finals, and they won the first two games. When I say missed opportunity, this is what I'm referring to. They did play poorly. They did fall into Miami's trap. They did let Jimmy Butler, who I want to give Jimmy Butler credit. We'll talk about Jimmy Butler a little bit later. But the dude's not Michael Jordan or LeBron James. So let's pump the brakes a little bit on that performance that he had last night. When I say missed opportunity, really what I'm referring to is pregame show, myself and MT. We're talking about who do you think right now, based upon two games, deserves finals MVP more? I saw Anthony Davis last night in a critical game three. Look.
Yeah, I don't know how critical it was. I think this is the disconnect that you and I have on this. It did
selfish,
not feel critical.
In a selfish game three.
Okay.
I shouldn't say critical.
Okay.
Selfish in the sense that this is it. Lakers win last night with two starters out for the Miami Heat. We're the only thing left is what are we doing for celebration-wise on Wednesday
how much
or whatever
champagne
the case
should
is.
We order?
Right, exactly. I saw a game last night where Anthony Davis took 9 shots in 33 minutes. I saw a game last night where Anthony Davis took 2 free throws. Do I think, Travis, that this is going to leak into Game 4? No, I don't. I think the Lakers will actually be incredibly focused and motivated tomorrow. Maybe they didn't have that same sense of urgency in Game 3. That's how I looked at last night's game.
Yeah, you know, there's a couple of things here. Let's start with the MVP conversation like you're talking about. And when
you
and I were doing this last week, we were kind of saying, okay, who does it go to? And it felt like maybe Anthony Davis had the inside track to this. And I'm not saying that he still might not win it. He could come out in Game 4, and I fully expect him to come out in Game 4 and tear the roof off the place. This is what he does. At least in one game in all of these series, and occasionally during the regular season, Anthony Davis will have a game that has you scratching your head. That's what it was last night. He took 9 shots. Anthony Davis should take 9 shots a quarter. I mean, it feels like that sometimes. He only got to the foul line 2 times. Anthony Davis is a good free throw shooter, should be at the line over and over again because it means he's being aggressive. It means he's near the rim. It means he's pushing pace. All of those things are true. But this is also true. The reason that he has these rebound games, it's because he has games where he does not perform at that level. LeBron James, by his standards, and let me make this crystal clear.
It's the big difference.
LeBron James'
standards. This is the big difference, right?
He had a bad game. LeBron James had a 25-10-8 night, and we're saying, he didn't play that well. He was 25-10-8. He did turn the ball over 8 times. That's why LeBron is the MVP. He might not win it. It may go to Anthony Davis. Who knows what's going to happen over these next course of the next few games. The fact of the matter is LeBron is the most valuable player on this team because every single night the performance is just like every other night. Anthony Davis's fluctuates a little bit more.
Look, the conversation is really ridiculous, and I was doing this yesterday, Trav. I mean, when you really just kind of think about this, when you're coming into a game three and the conversation is which of the two players that are on the same team should be finals MVP, mm-hmm. it's a ridiculous conversation, right? We're definitely incredibly confident that the Lakers are going to find a way to figure this thing out. But if the conversation continues of LeBron James and Anthony Davis, that is what makes LeBron great, is every single night. And LeBron didn't have a perfect night last night. I had somebody call into the postgame show and wanted to put the blame on LeBron, that Lakers lost a game because of LBJ. And I was quick to say, I don't want to hear anything Stop. About LeBron. I mean, yeah. if there's any criticism to go to an individual player, let it go to KCP and Danny Green, who, by the way, have shot 4 of 30 in the last two games.
Not great.
4 of 30
it's not great.
In the last two
he
games.
Do better.
And then, you know, like I mentioned, Anthony Davis last night, but LBJ did not have one of the games that he's supposed to have. But I thought, you know, one of the great things, and I know you got a chance to hit on this for the last couple of hours, LBJ put it on his back. Anthony Davis put it on his back. These are two players that understand if we lose, it's because of us.
Yeah, there was nothing that we saw last night that felt like an uh-oh moment. Uh-oh, they found something here, that this is not a sustainable thing. This was something that
the
felt
Butler
like
thing
an
might
aberration.
Be interesting.
We'll see. We'll get into that coming up in just a little bit. Don't forget that you can be a part of the show on the Dr. Pepper Twitter feed. ESPN Nation is presented by Dr. Pepper. It's official. College football's back, and so is your favorite Dr. Pepper-loving college football town, Fansville. Head to a store near you to treat your inner college football fan to an ice-cold 20-ounce Dr. Pepper today. Let's go to Hollywood Murph on Twitter. He says, they're fine. This series was going 5 to begin with. Yeah, I think you and I both had him at 6 before the series started. Then we saw what happened to Adebayo. Then we saw what happened to Dragic. And when we were doing this last week, it felt like, you know what, this is going to be a sweep. That was probably a little bit overly ambitious on our point. The NBA Finals are not a sweep. Very, very rarely.
Yeah.
It doesn't go that way. And even though Jimmy Butler, look, I like what you
Walking
said a second
me off
ago.
The ledge here.
I like what you said a second ago. Jimmy Butler is not Michael Jordan or LeBron James. What he did last night, 40-13 or 40-11-13, is not something he's going to be able to do over and over again. If LeBron James did that, and let's flip it the other way.
Sure.
Let's say that LeBron did that performance after having the other guys out and you say, you know what? We got a problem because LeBron James can absolutely do that again.
Mm-hmm.
Jimmy Butler is a nice player, but he ain't that. Jimmy Butler is not a guy that's going to give 40 every night.
That's what I was trying to figure out on the postgame show. You know, we say this about really good players. Remember that series against the Rockets with James Harden?
Mm-hmm.
Always the conversation was, give him one or the other. Let him get 40 or let him get the 13 assists. Don't let him do both. Don't let him be a facilitator and a scorer. Jimmy Butler yesterday, the 40 points, 13 assists. You know, he shot 14 of 20 from the field. How do you shoot 70%? In an NBA game where there's a defense like the Los Angeles Lakers, which obviously have a bunch of defensive players, got to the free throw line 14 times, hit 12 of 14. If Jimmy Butler has another game like that, my view on Jimmy Butler will completely change. Impossible that Jimmy Butler has that type of an effect on a game against this Lakers defense.
I want to read one more tweet here from our Dr. Pepper Twitter feed. This is from Let's Go Lake Show. Low effort and focus in an NBA Finals game is concerning. Yeah, unless, of course, you've got LeBron James and Anthony Davis on your team. And look, I know that they're superhuman when it comes to playing basketball, but they're also human beings. When you feel like you have something in your pocket, the performance, the energy level, the defensive effort that you were just talking about last night, that felt like a real thing. That felt like just one of those, guys, this is over.
But I understand the tweet. You don't want to give a team hope. The Lakers gave the Miami Heat a little bit of hope last night. We'll see if it obviously carries on to game 4 tomorrow.
Yeah, they're fine. On a scale of 1 to 10, we'll take your phone calls on how worried you are.
10.5.
10.5 being Allen and me being a negative 68. You guys go ahead and fill in the rest of that. We'll get into that coming up in just a little bit. Plus, I'm going to give you a silver lining on all the things that we saw there.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I think LeBron has got the best of me way too many times. I respect the guy for it, but this is a different time now, a different group of guys that I have around me. We're here to win. We're here to compete, but we're not going to lay down. We're going to fight back in this thing and even it up 2-2.
Yeah, look, nobody was expecting Jimmy Butler to lay down. Jimmy
chirping
Butler's
a little
tough
bit.
Guy.
Chirping a little
yeah,
bit.
Yeah, a little bit. And beating LeBron James once does not mean that you've cracked the code.
This is good for the Lakers. By the way, Trav, I think it is. It's good when I say when Jimmy Butler runs his mouth a little bit, or if Tyler Hero puts up a smirk, and I don't know what he shot from. I don't know what he shot all series, but he hasn't been all that great. There's a kind of a swagger and a confidence that Miami give them credit in one game, but at the same time, I think this is a Lakers team that understand. Okay, let's get back to work for Game 4.
Yeah, look, I want to get to this. It's time for Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. here's the
Don't
Straight
cry.
Talk.
Don't cry. You're very emotional right now.
The Lakers played about as badly as they could and nearly won the game. The Lakers were down by 10, 12, 8, 10, 9. The whole game was floating right around that 10-point
Miami had control the entire game.
The entire game.
Yeah.
And then the Lakers got the lead in the fourth quarter. They went up by two, and then it went right back away the other. The Lakers played really poorly. Jimmy Butler put up an otherworldly performance, and the Lakers still had a chance to win it despite putting up what is probably, a C-minus sort of effort? Miami put up an A-plus mm-hmm. last night, and they barely won the game.
Do you not know how selfish Laker fans work? Do you not know how this works?
Tell me.
3-0. You should have been up 3-0. Now, listen, I know what you're saying. I'm going to read off a quick tweet here. Crosby says it took the Lakers going completely cold from three. Jimmy Butler going full AI, mm-hmm. little artificial intelligence in there. AD getting in foul trouble. Bron having an game in order to lose. We're fine, Lakers in five. I think there are a lot of Laker fans like that. I think I go back to this. I feel like Lakers have such an incredible advantage in this series that the thought that they'd even be in a close game or lose a game against the Miami Heat without two starters, that one's a little bit tougher to swallow for me. And I have such incredibly high expectations on Anthony Davis. I couldn't stand looking at that stat line yesterday and being, in my head saying, AD, you can't have a game like this in the finals.
No, not nine shots is simply not enough.
Two free throws.
He had no blocks. He had two free throw attempts. That Anthony Davis, for all of his greatness, and there's lots of it, he'll give you one of these once in a while. That's just who he is. That's why LeBron is LeBron, because he doesn't do that. Or if he does, it's extraordinarily rare. But we've seen a game like this from Anthony Davis a couple of different times in the postseason, and he almost always follows it up with a fantastic performance on the heels of that. Let's try our first call of the day, 877-710-ESPN. Let's start in Glendale with John. John, you're on with Travis and Sliwa.
Hey, guys. I completely agree with there's really nothing to worry about, but the only thing that I'm worried about is that now that they've won a game with essentially two of their three best players out, now all the pundits are going to be saying, look, if Goran and Bam had been playing this entire series, game two would have looked completely different, and there were, would they have won this series had the two of those played? Now, again, I don't think so, but I think based on how the Lakers played last night and how they played somewhat in game two, that's going to be an actual conversation now.
I'll say this, John. Who cares? I really don't care. I mean, here's the reality. This happens, Trav, this happens the time in sports. In sports, you don't have to be the best team. You got to be the healthiest and the hottest at the right time. That's usually the saying. Mm-hmm. I could go back to the Lakers losing against the Boston Celtics where Andrew Bynum and Trevor Ariza had injuries mm-hmm. In that series. They lose to the Celtics. You can go back to the year LeBron lost against the Golden State Warriors and Kyrie Irving and Kevin Love. Last season, Kevin Durant and Klay Thompson. It happens all the time in sports. I'll say this. Whether Miami was 100% healthy or they have a couple injuries that they have right now, Lakers were going to be the favorites either way. And whether you want to talk about this today or 5 years from now, get another banner up. Nobody's going to remember and nobody cares. This happens in sports.
There are no details beyond whether did you win or lose after about 10 minutes after it ends. Did you win or lose? Look, to John's point, there, and especially with the Lakers, there will always be a group of people that want to discredit them because of jealousy, and there will always be a group of people that want to discredit LeBron for reasons that I will never fully comprehend. Yes, there will be, oh, well, Dragic was out. Oh, well, Adebayo was out. So what?
Who cares? Point,
it doesn't matter. The banner goes up. It's number 17. It's number 4 for LeBron, and we'll move on from there. And only the people that are looking for reasons to be ridiculous are going to remember those things. It's just a bad, bad take. I'm with you, John. It will happen for sure because that's what they do to LeBron James, but it's stupid and it's wrong and it's easy to dismiss.
The one concern when he said he has no concern at all, Trav, this is a legitimate concern. Tomorrow is one of two things happen tomorrow. Either we have a series or Lakers go up 3-1. That has not been the scenario so far. So this would be the first time where you're actually coming into a game and you're saying to yourself, okay, this could either get very interesting. If it's 2-2, it's an interesting series, period. I don't care what the Lakers have. If Miami kind of finds a way to make it an ugly game again, if maybe Bam Adebayo comes back, that's the one storyline that comes into tomorrow's game. There isn't this luxury of saying, well, we have a cushion. That cushion is now gone. Now you go up 3-1. You're back to having a cushion. That's the one concern I would say for Laker fans out there. Tomorrow becomes a game where one of two scenarios play out.
You know, look, if the Lakers lose tomorrow and it's 2-2, my reaction will be very similar to what it is right now.
Really?
Assuming that the same thing happened again. If the Lakers play well and lose, now we got a problem. If the Lakers go out there and Anthony Davis doesn't take 9 shots and doesn't go to the free throw line 2 times, if Anthony Davis looks like Anthony Davis and LeBron James, instead of having 8 turnovers, has 3, and if the bench players, or not even the starting guys like Danny Green and KCP,
4 for 30 their last two games,
7 points, they give you 17 points, and they still lose, then I'll kind of move towards your side of the table. But right now, it just the only reason the Lakers lost that game, because it was a perfect confluence of events for Miami. Their best player played out of his mind, and the Lakers were kind of meh.
So you wouldn't be worried if they lost tomorrow and it's 2-2?
No. I could sit here and play radio and pretend that the world is on fire. You cannot convince me that the Lakers are going to lose 4 out of 5 to that Miami team. You just,
we were
they
up,
lose 2 in a row?
We were up 2-0 yesterday, and we had a 2-point lead in the fourth quarter, and I was a worried mother. You know, I was, where's my children, you know?
They're going to be fun. Let's try another one here. Diamond Bar and Gilbert. Gilbert, you're on with Travis and Sliwa. What's up?
Yeah, good morning, gentlemen. You know, I agree. I think the Lakers are fine. I think it's going to be over in 5. But I think Vogel's rotation yesterday was bad. The advantage we have on Miami is that we have height on them, and he never utilized the height. And the other thing was not challenging that third foul on AD where Olynyk was clearly moving, and they called a charge on AD, gave him his third foul, took him out of the game. Got him completely out of his rhythm. I think Vogel has some blame in this, too. And, you know, actually, Olynyk is playing better than Bam would, so I don't think there's any excuse for the haters if the Lakers win. Have a good one.
Yeah, appreciate it. Thanks for calling.
Look, Olynyk is playing fine. Bam is better than Olynyk. Period, sentence, paragraph.
Olynyk's better than Olajuwon.
Yeah.
That's all I'm going to say.
Yeah, that too. Look.
He actually, but he has had 2. I know what he's saying. He's trying to say offensive. He had 24 in game 2 and 17 last night.
The fact of the matter is coaches are very reluctant to use their challenge before the end of the game. And I get it. That while a foul on one of your more important players, especially
you're worried
the 3,
that there's a predicament
there
at the end of the
is
game.
But what you don't want is an egregious miss at the end and you can't challenge it because you wanted to challenge. And by the way, there's no on those offensive defensive fouls, sometimes we can look at it 1,000 times, all come to the same conclusion that, oh, that's not a foul. and they don't overturn it. You just don't know. But if it's a possession issue, if it's another thing that you have to get at the end of the game, I want to keep that in my back pocket the whole game.
Well, Chad, let me say this about Coach, because I've been very quick to praise what Vogel's done this year. You can't really find it that many faults with Coach. I mean, you really very have few. To nitpick. But yesterday's game, there definitely was some frustration. You know, we talked about Jimmy Butler and the type of game that he had. Trav, they didn't do anything different. And that's the one thing that bothered me as the game progressed. All Miami was trying to do is get LeBron off Jimmy Butler. And they would just screen, and LeBron would just switch on the screen. And then all of a sudden, it was Jimmy Butler going up against somebody that he had a 10-15-pound advantage on, a couple inches. He was going up against Danny Green, KCP, Alex Caruso, Rondo, and he had a clear-cut advantage. That was the one thing I would say about Coach yesterday. There were times where I thought you could make some adjustments on Jimmy Butler. You didn't. He was comfortable the entire game, and he dominated. And one other thing that I want to hit on, and we'll take a call here in just a second, Lakers are depending on the three-point line as if Ray Allen and Reggie Miller and all these other greats are on this team. They are not a three-point shooting team.
All right, ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. Progressive's Home Quote Explorer is changing the way you buy home insurance. Now you can go online, get a custom quote, and save both time and money. Learn more at progressive.com.
All right, Mark in L.A., appreciate you calling in. You're on with Travis and Sliwa. Go ahead, bud.
Yeah, what's up, fellas? Yeah, to me, the thing that was maddening is when you're not hitting your three-point shot and you have the size advantage with their best defensive player and Bam out, attack them, especially AD. I don't like the way the Lakers have settled. They would have won that game regardless of that out-of-the-world game that Jimmy Buckets was having last night. It's just inexcusable. I think that's on the coaching staff or specifically Vogel to get, especially guys like Danny Green, who's run streaky. If you're Marquise Morris hitting your three-point shots, or Kuzma, keep taking them. But the rest of the guys, they weren't hitting. And go to the bucket. If you saw that Jimmy dropped 40 without a three-point shot, the Lakers could kill this heat team so undermanned and undersized, just driving to the paint. So don't you think that Vogel should be infusing that into their brains? And I'm kind of concerned because Jimmy Butler and a bunch of, you know, solid role players, you know, like Hero and Robinson and Kelly Olynyk should not beating this Lakers squad. I want to get your thoughts on that, and I expect a different focus in game four, because if not, then we got a series. And what's the status of Bam? Does he come back, you guys think?
Okay, there's a lot there. We'll get into as much of it as we can. We don't know about Bam. We're still waiting. He was on the call today, so go ahead and make of that what you will. We'll find out. Anthony Davis should play bigger more often. We've had this conversation before, and every time we have it, it seems like he comes back and does it the day before. The last part of this, though, this idea that the Lakers should never lose to a team without those two guys, with the guys that Miami has left, that's not true. They should very rarely lose to a team like that, and that was what happened yesterday. This is not a tipping point. This is not where the series turns. Those guys in Miami, even though Adebayo's not there, even though Dragic is not there, so the guys are in the NBA. They can have good nights. Your guys in the NBA can have nights that are less than their best, and if those two things happen at the same time, you lose.
Guys, don't listen to Travis. Where are my worried callers?
We see it all the time where an inferior team beats a better team. You don't see it a ton, but sure. This is why sweeping is hard to do. That's what happened last night. The very best player on the other team played like it. The rest of the guys on that team played a little bit above the line, and the Lakers had a bad night. That's how you lose a game, but it doesn't happen very often.
Do you know how many threes Lakers have taken in the last two games, Trav?
6 trillion?
88 threes in the last two games. And I think that's what part of Mark's point was right there, was just see if you can. They were outscored by 18 in the paint. You know, just think about that. The Miami Heat outscored the Lakers by 18 in the paint, and Lakers are obviously settling for
Anthony
the three.
Anthony Davis will fix that. More of your phone calls coming up, 877-710-ESPN. You can send the tweets as well to me, at Travis Rogers, to Alan, at Alan Sliwa. Plus, Laker fans are doing one of the Laker role players dirty. I'll tell you what's going on next. That's coming up on a Lakers Reaction Monday right here on 710 ESPN.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Obviously, when you lose a game, you got a bad taste in your mouth. So you're trying to do whatever it takes the next game to not taste that again. So obviously, these guys are going to come out and with more aggression and more purpose. And I feel like we up to the test to answer the bell. We got to continue to start the games the way we want to, and on our terms. And then from there, it'd be a game. But from that point, we got to sustain our emotions come next game, because I feel like they'll be high with us trying to get another win.
ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests on the show will appear via the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. And yeah, the Lakers are going to show up and give a better performance. There is no doubt in my mind. It's funny to look at Twitter right now, Alan. Okay. Our Dr. Pepper Twitter feed right here. Twitter is more reactionary, I think, than most environments. This is why Twitter exists, so people can freak out. And even Twitter, the Twitter users I'm saying here, are pretty calm. This is from Jerry. Butler won't drop that line again, and the Lakers will play seriously. They took the night off. Now, if the Lakers play amazing tomorrow and the Heat play lackluster and win, then we can talk. That's where I am.
I have never heard the words, Twitter is pretty calm. That has never...
Right
that
here?
Is, oh, no, no.
Did you not hear me from Jerry?
And I see some of these tweets that you're talking about, but those two just don't go together.
That's
Twitter
why I'm saying.
Calm.
This is not a big deal. This is how we can all feel good about it. Here's another one from Rachel. They defended AD really well, and their game plan was to let anyone else shoot except for him. Frank and his team have always made adjustments on their game plan, and it's always worked, so why not now? We had a bunch of open shots. They just weren't going in.
Yeah,
you have to work. Hard to get crazy about this.
I think there's a little bit more to that than Lakers just had a bad night or an off night. I think, Travin, you hit on something that makes a lot of sense when you say and you emphasize you're going to have games like this. It happens. You're in the NBA Finals. To just think you're going to win double digits in four straight games. Fair to say that's pretty unrealistic.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we probably started selling ourselves that because we saw the first two games, and you also know that two starters are missing. So now the expectations are we're just going to play perfect four games in a row, and that's it. We move on, and we start talking about how do you go back-to-back next year. But with all that being said, listen, Game 4 becomes one of those games where I think we know who the Los Angeles Lakers are. They're going to have to come out led by Anthony Davis. LeBron's going to do what he does and also show and prove that, all right, Miami, you had a nice one game. Let's put you back where you belong.
I wouldn't be surprised if LeBron did one of those LeBron nights too. I think Anthony Davis will be much better. I'm not concerned about that. I think that he'll show up and be big. But I wouldn't be surprised if LeBron does one of those, oh, really, Jimmy Butler?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, watch this, and does it right back on top. I wouldn't be surprised by that at all. Let's go to the Dr. Pepper phone line right here. West Hills and Megan. Megan, you're on with Travis and Sliwa. What's up?
Hey, guys. I just wanted to mention I'm not concerned because we have the best duo in the league, but I will say I am concerned because since game two, I don't think we've played against the zone well, and we haven't utilized LeBron and AD the way I think we should, and I think the Heat are happy with our role players taking the majority of the shots, which I don't think is the best recipe for us to win.
Well, Megan, I'll hit on that for a quick second. If you're going to have Danny Green take six jumpers and KCP, if you're going to have Markieff Morris and Kuzma take 26 shots, and I appreciate you calling in, Megan, but Trav, just to play off of that for a quick second, Miami doesn't have, there is no other option, right? Like, what you're depending on is that the Lakers are taking those outside shots, mm-hmm. that they are taking 88 threes in the last two games and shooting 35% from the three-point line. What's the other option? There is no other option. What you're hoping for is Anthony Davis finds ways to get himself into foul trouble in the first half, that he's grabbing some offensive fouls early on, and that the Lakers have 10 turnovers in just the first quarter. That I'm not saying that this is what Eric Spoelstra is drawing up and they're executing it perfectly, but the Lakers are shooting themselves in the foot as well.
Look, this is one of those diversions that I think people get caught up in that is a waste of time, because I've said this since the first round of the playoffs. After the first game in the first round that the Lakers lost to Portland, I said this, and I'm going to say it now after game three of the finals. Don't worry about the role players. That's not what this is about. This is about Anthony Davis and LeBron James.
Mm-hmm.
If Anthony Davis and LeBron James play well, this thing is a wrap. I don't care what the Laker role players do. I don't care what Jimmy Butler does. The reason the Lakers lost last night is because those two guys were a little bit less than their best. Anthony Davis in particular. Anthony Davis, if he plays just where he typically does, he doesn't even need, we don't need another 40-point night at Anthony Davis. We just need him to do what he does. Get to the foul
28
line,
and 10.
Block a few shots.
Sure.
28 and 10. Just do that. He didn't last night. He only took 9 shots. He only got to the foul line 2 times. He didn't block any shots. Just be Anthony Davis. We're done here. Kyle Kuzma doesn't need to score 19 points every night. Alex Caruso doesn't need to knock down a bunch of shots. Markieff Morris doesn't need 19 points. They don't. It's about LeBron and it's about AD. And last night, those two guys were a little bit less than their best, and they still nearly won the game.
Deshaun in Inglewood. Deshaun, appreciate you calling in. Travis and Sliwa here on 710 ESPN. Go ahead, bud.
Hey, guys. Well, I just want to say I grew up, you know, watching old school hoops from the 90s. So my thing is, when I see a zone defense, I see a whole mid-range area and a lot of holes that can be exploited. So, yeah, we throwing up a whole bunch of threes, but when we don't get our rebounds and they're playing a zone, which means that they're spaced out, that, you know, that provides an issue. I want to say I'm not worried about the Lakers, but I will say there's some fundamental aspects that could be exploited on Miami's defense. And in addition, we still need to be physical and get our rebounds. Like, our second chance points is what diminishes teams and basically takes the air out of their tires.
Yeah, Deshaun, it's interesting you talk about, you know, the way you started that with, I'm an old school guy. When I see a zone, I know that there's some space in the mid-range game. I kind of feel the same way when I watch a baseball game every once in a while. This idea of, okay, we got a guy on second base. Let's move him over. Let's play for that run. Games just change now. You know what I mean? That you do not bunt in Major League Baseball anymore. It's, you just never give away an out. And they realize that, you know, mid-range jump shots are just not good shots in the math of it. I get what you're saying, and I feel the same way, Deshaun, where you see it's like, hey, we could there's some 15-footers in there that we could knock down and have a field day with, but that's just not the way the basketball is played anymore.
Now, I see what you're saying too, Trav. I mean, it is kind of – the game has evolved to where if you're not shooting in the paint and it's a 7-8 footer, then you're predominantly, it's almost like a wasted shot if you're taking an 18 footer rather than a 22 footer. Mm-hmm. And I know we look at it that way, but I hesitate on that one because the Lakers are not known for being a 3-point shooting team, and if the Miami Heat are baiting you into taking threes, they're baiting the Lakers into Eric Spoelstra's got to be sitting there on the sideline saying, please, God, have Markieff Morris keep shooting threes.
Yep.
Have Danny Green, KCP, Alex Caruso, and you could go down that list.
Yeah.
By the way, what were you saying about Kuz?
Well, we'll get to Kuz in 1 second. Download the DraftKings app and use the code Greeny to get a free shot at millions of dollars up for grabs this week with your first deposit. Minimum $5 deposit required. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details. Again, this goes back to what we were talking about. Get AD near the bucket, playing like a big guy, and
sure,
all of these other problems take care of themselves. What they're doing to Kuz, and they being a group of people out there that have started a petition to keep him from getting a ring, that is cold-blooded, man. That if the Lakers do win, and I get it, this is like the, you know, firecoachsoandso.com website.
This can't be real.
It is real.
This cannot be real.
It does exist, but it's also cruel and stupid. Look, I don't know why everybody thought that Kyle Kuzma was the second coming of Scottie Pippen. That's not what he is.
We propped him up to be the third best player on this Lakers team, right behind LeBron and AD.
You know why? And look, this is not meant to be cruel to Kyle Kuzma.
Mm-hmm.
This is just meant to be a statement of fact. It's because he was the only guy that didn't go in that big trade.
Mm-hmm.
So he must be something special if he's the one. The fact of the matter is,
it's actually opposite of that.
The reason mm-hmm. he shined next to those other guys is because those other guys aren't very good. Look, I get that everybody was in love with Lonzo. Lonzo wasn't very good. Lonzo is getting a little better, I guess, but if you can't shoot, you're limited in what you do. Brandon Ingram is going to be a pretty good player in the NBA. We saw him make an All-Star game last year, and if he can get a little stronger, he'll be okay. The fact of the matter is, Kyle Kuzma is, I don't want to say along for the ride, but he's kind of sort of along for the ride on this one. It's LeBron, it is AD, it's a little bit of Rondo, it's a little bit of Dwight.
Kuzma, and everybody else is along for the ride.
Yes.
So let me just say this to Laker fans out there. If you're signing a petition to stop Kyle Kuzma from getting a ring, please stop doing that. There's plenty of players that are contributing on some nights and not doing anything on other nights. You could make that case with a lot of Laker players, past and present. For the love of God, Laker fans, if Kuz and the Lakers win, leave the man alone. I mean, there are plenty of games where Kuz does nothing wrong, and I'm still taking calls in the postgame show about Kuz.
There's always a guy.
Can we leave the guy alone and let this guy develop over time?
877-710-ESPN, that is your phone number. The Rams got a win yesterday, an ugly win. Any worry at all that they were struggling with arguably the worst team in football? That is coming up next. But right now it's time for some straight talk, just like in football. You want the best coverage with your wireless network without your wallet taking a hit. Straight Talk Wireless gives you the same nationwide coverage as big carriers, America's best networks, for up to 50% less. Just $45 a month for 25 gigs of high-speed data than 2G with the unlimited plan. No contract, no mystery fees. Don't get sidelined with weak protection. Get Straight Talk Wireless. Savings may vary. See terms and conditions at straighttalk.com.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
I know I say this often, but it comes down to just us executing. You know, they weren't doing anything that we didn't expect or that we can't handle. We just got to execute a little bit better and be able to put a few more points on the board. Our defense really picked us up today.
You know, Alan, you and I were talking about this a little bit before we came on, and I think yesterday's Rams game, there was Jared Goff talking about after that win yesterday, the Rams are 3-1. Yesterday was the first time you got the sense that the Rams specifically, and maybe this has happened to some other teams throughout the country, but the Rams specifically missed out on a crowd. And here's why I say that. They get their first possession. They go right down the field. Bam, touchdown. And it looked easy, right? I mean, they just go right down, boom, 7-0.
You think this is going to be a blowout against the Giants, right?
You think it's going to be a blowout. Now, let's assume there's a crowd there and the place is going crazy, sure. And everybody likes to watch your team play great. They go back the next time. They get the ball right back. They throw it to Gerald Everett, who just scored a touchdown, and he fumbles the ball. And nothing happens. And then nothing happens. There was no crowd to kind of say, hey, what the hell's going on here? Let's get this thing going. They come out in the second half flat as a pancake. And the only reason they got going again is because the Giants kept chipping away at it, kicking some field goals. The Giants are terrible.
Yeah, Giants, weren't they in the red zone three times? Couldn't score a touchdown?
Nothing.
Absolutely.
They did absolutely nothing. But you could tell there was no sense of emotion from the team. Not that they're not playing hard, but just you've been in arenas. We've all been in stadiums. There are moments where the crowd kind of gets behind you and kind of pushes you across the line, kind of gets you all refocused and motivated, and there's just nothing there right now. You have to create it yourself, and especially when you're playing against a garbage team like the Giants, that's really hard to do.
You know what's funny, Trav? I always talk about this. One of my favorite sporting events to watch on TV, okay? There's nothing better than Saturday night football, and it's college football, and it's a 5 o'clock kickoff, and maybe it's two teams in the SEC, or maybe it's the Big Ten, or whatever the case is, or 7:30 when it's USC versus Oregon, one of those games. And the reason why I like those games so much is the environment. You don't even have to be inside of these stadiums to feel the environment. I just use that example because college football right now is different. It's just different. There's no other way to put it. And, you know, here you're talking about this unbelievable $5 million SoFi, $5 billion SoFi Stadium arena, and you're just thinking in your mind, what would this be like with fans? And I'm sure players are thinking the same exact thing. And I'm sure when you're trying to get that extra, where is that juice going to come from? The Giants aren't going to give you any juice.
No, they're not going to give you any juice. And you go in, Aaron Donald got in a little shoving mask, face mask, grabbing little push and shove with an offensive lineman. And yeah, they're usually fun. They usually get people animated. And this one's just, okay, go back to the end of it. Jalen Ramsey lights up Golden Tate on a hit. By the way, that kind of ended the Giants' little run right there. Mm-hmm. And we know that there's some history there. We know that there's some familial connections that people are a little upset about in that situation. And it was just, oh, okay, it's a tackle. Let's move on to the next one. There's no juice. There's no juice, and I don't care how enthusiastic you are. I don't care how passionate you are. You cannot create your own juice three straight hours. You just can't do it.
No, it's different, and no question about that. But listen, if you're the Los Angeles Rams, it's funny because you look at the NFC West and you look at the standings right now. Mm-hmm. Or you just look, if you're not paying too close attention to the Rams and nobody's paying more attention than you are, you could look at this and say, oh, wow, good start. Rams are 3-1. But if you really look into it, who have they beat? Now, you can only beat the teams that are in front of you, but at the same time, I don't think we really know what this Rams team is yet, do we?
It's a great question because, like you said, you look at it and the Rams have three wins. All three wins come against the NFC East. Okay, the NFC East as a division has three wins. Okay, and one of them came against each other. So
the
that
NFC
one really
should join the Big 12.
They're dreadful. It is a dreadful, dreadful conference. The Eagles lead the conference, and they're 1-2-1. So the Rams
just
have,
hearing that right there,
exactly right.
They lead the conference at 1-2-1.
So you've got a conference that is dreadful, and the Rams, all three of their wins have come against them. So that's part of the problem. But here's the Rams are good, and here's why. They haven't turned the ball over. Hmm. You know, when Gerald Everett had that one yesterday, it was kind of striking. That Jared Goff has had two interceptions through four games, and one of them was a joke because he got clubbed upside the head as he was throwing it. It should have never gone the other way. They've taken care of the football. Their defense is able to get stops when they have to have it. This isn't a team that's going to go out and give up 10 points every game like they did the Giants. But against Buffalo in the second half, they were really good. The Rams moved the ball against a Buffalo team that has a really good defense. You saw what the Raiders looked like against them yesterday. Jared Goff is playing well. Cooper Kupp, Robert Woods, all the skill players have really played well. Darrell Henderson looks like a very serviceable back. He's not Todd Gurley. There aren't many guys that are. But they've played really well regardless of the opponent. They're a good team.
Could Rams be similar to... Lakers have had a lot of games like this. And I'm sure the Dodgers have as well throughout the season. They know they're so good, and sometimes just the competition you play, you just don't get up for, you know? And it's going to be different when they start facing the San Francisco 49ers or the Seattle Seahawks or throwing the Arizona Cardinals into that mix as well, obviously just because of the division. Mm-hmm. Are they a team like that where you'll see their best when they actually have competition that wakes them up a little bit?
Perhaps. ESPN Radio is brought to you by Shell V-Power Nitro Plus Premium Gasoline. Perhaps is the reason, or I should say is the word I use, because we're not going to know for a while. Keep in mind, they're four games into their season. We're not going to see them go through a run of really tough opponents until week 10, actually, because week 9 is their bye week, right? Up until they come back from their bye, they're going to play exactly one good team, and that's the San Francisco 49ers 2 weeks from now on Sunday Night Football.
And next week's another
They got the Washington football team. Mm-hmm. They're terrible. They've got the Dolphins left, not good. You've got the Bears left, not good. And then you got the 49ers in there. On the back end of this, the last eight games of the season,
that's when we'll find out
about
that.
They've got seven of their eight teams are against either divisional opponents, which are always tough, or very good non-divisional opponents. The only layup they have in the second half of the season is against the Jets. They play the Pats, they play the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and they play all their division games. That's going to be brutal.
So you better feast now.
If they don't come, I'll say this right now. Mm-hmm. If they don't come out of the first eight games of the season 6-2 or better than that, they've missed a huge opportunity because the odds of going 6-2 in the back half of that are probably not good. I think you'd sign up for 5-3 right now. Even if you go 4-4, if you go 6-2 in the first half, 4-4 gives you 10-6.
You're good to go.
You're in. That's all you
you're
have
in,
to do.
And now you're a part of the fight.
That's what they got to get figured out. 877-710-ESPN. Plus, we got the Dodgers tomorrow night. I can't wait for that. I'm a little worried about the super glue on his finger. I'm talking about Walker Buehler.
Do you see
that globs of that stuff in the last playoff game he had? That guy right there is the key to all of this because if he can get into the fourth or fifth inning, they're in a pretty good spot.
Mark Medina coming up.
Mark Medina is coming up. He will join us from inside the bubble. That is coming up next on a Lakers Reaction Monday on 710 ESPN.